Hello, my name is Hunter Dusing, and I teach in the Shelton Upper School. And joining me once again is Shelton sophomore Christian Vallade. Say hello, Christian.
Hi there.
And his father, Don Vallade. Say hello, Don.
Hi, Hunter. Thanks for having us back.
Absolutely. So the last time we spoke, Christian, you and your dad were about to go on a trip to Denmark, and we talked about it in the very first, the inaugural Shelton podcast. So go back and listen to that if you haven't. And you were about to take a trip to Denmark in which you were invited by the Danish royal family. So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, if you watched the previous podcast, I explained a little bit about why we're going there and my great-grandfather. But the ceremony was very nice. Unfortunately, the queen couldn't make it, but she had some other political business to tend to, but the prime minister was there, and minister of defense, and some other very important Danish
current admiral.
Oh yeah,
the you hung out with
Danish admiral. Yeah, I got to meet him, and he even signed a book for me on what my great grandfather did. It was really cool.
So if you listen to the first Shelton podcast, you can hear that story. But why don't we refresh the audience's memory on what your great-grandfather did?
Yeah, sure. During the Second World War, when the Germans occupied Denmark in 1940, at first Germany considered Denmark to be collaborators. But, you know, resistance in Denmark got very high, and Denmark didn't want to agree to a lot of policies. And so in 1943, Germany wanted to take over the Danish government. And as a result, my great-grandfather, who was vice admiral of the Danish Navy, disobeyed orders and sunk all the ships in the Danish fleet in the harbors. And so not only could the Germans not use them for their war effort, they couldn't use the harbors as well. So,
I think part of that, Christian, is also the fact that being a collaborator back in those days, being occupied by the Germans, the Nazis, it was a badge of shame. And when they sunk these ships, the world knew about it. It was on the front page of the New York Times. And it truly, truly made Denmark all of a sudden not a collaborator, but that they stuck up for themselves.
And even when the admiral spoke at the ceremony, he even mentioned that, you know, he said to himself that if this event didn't happen, then the world would have a totally different relation with Denmark today. So,
and so the admiral you spent time with, is he the person occupying your great grandfather's old position?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty cool.
Very nice man.
So, you know, you said you met the prime minister was there. Did you get to meet the prime minister?
I did.
Yeah, my father did. I didn't.
It was kind of funny. We had a whole section in the church where this was being held. And, you know, huge military bands. I mean, it was amazing. And so the prime minister came up and looked at me and goes, "You one of the 40 grandkids?" I was like, "Yes, that's me."
What kind of a church was it?
It was called Holmenkirk, which means church in Danish, but it's the Navy church, and there's also memorials at this church.
Okay.
So it's in the center of Copenhagen. There's actually a statue of my grandfather there, and there were wreaths laid at his statue by resistance folks, by the prime minister, by my aunt, by prime minister. So it was really a big deal. The same place they have the Tomb of the Unknown Sailors inside there too. So,
oh wow,
it's pretty, you know, what do you call it when you have that feeling?
Reverence.
It was just an amazing place to have it.
Right.
It was, you know, a celebration after 75 years. So
that's really incredible. And so do they have this event annually, or is this a particular?
They recognize the 29th of August every year, but because this was 75 years, this was a little bigger than normal.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the local news stations were there, TV. You know, this was all going on at the same time, too, that the French prime minister decided to show up.
Oh, nice.
Hence, that's why the queen didn't go to this particular event, which I thought was kind of strange because the prime minister did.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, it is what it is. But so there was a lot.
So
going
was
on
it Emmanuel Macron?
Yeah,
was there? Okay,
it was first time in
35 years.
35 years.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
So, but so there was a lot going on in town that day.
And it's interesting that they said that Denmark would have a totally different reputation today because, I mean, you know, speaking of France, you know, the Vichy government's pretty notorious as a collaborator government.
Yeah.
So that that does make sense. Were there any other noteworthy persons you met while you were there?
You know, I got to, unfortunately, because of their age, there was also a language barrier as well. But I got to talk to some resistance fighters who were part of some really big groups, and they had their resistance armbands on their suits when they showed up, and pins and medals. And I got to talk a little bit with them, but I also got to talk with my Uncle Steen, who knew my great-grandfather very well. And he was just a boy at the time, but even hearing his stories, they were all very interesting and nostalgic.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about your grandfather's life, or your great-grandfather's life, I should say, after the war, kind of what his life was like afterwards, because I know your family's here in America, and I just was wondering what some of the transition was like, or where his career took him after that.
You know, it's not really talked about that much, but he continued being in the Navy until, I believe, either 1953 or 58. So I'm not 100% sure, but he continued to participate in Navy for a while, and yeah.
And when did your family find their way over to the United States?
Well, my my grandfather, every year they would have a Royal Ball. He was a part of the United States Navy.
Mm.
And this year the ball took place in Denmark, and he met the admiral's daughter, so my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a, I'm not sure how to describe it, but basically they met there at the ball, and she ran away with him to the United States. Or first they had to go to Canada and get a visa there because it would have been illegal or something like that. And then they came back to the U.S.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there's actually a lot more to all this. But I think I think one of the funniest things out of this whole thing, you know, certainly, you know, NATO was getting along after the war, and he was part of that. But getting to my father and my mom, what I think is probably one of the funniest things, we just closed their house about 3 years ago, and we found a bunch of paperwork.
Oh, wow.
And there was a request from the admiral asking the FBI to check him out.
Because
he was marrying his daughter.
I didn't know that.
No kidding.
J. Edgar Hoover's like, I'll get right on it.
Pretty much. Pretty much. You know, they ended up getting married in Vancouver because, you know, she was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And so their honeymoon was driving along the Canadian-U.S. border afterwards. But they actually did that trip 50 years later. So
wow.
It was pretty good. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Well, was there anything else that happened over there that you want to share?
Not necessarily related to my great-grandfather, but I got to see a lot of other cool places. We visit where my great-grandfather was buried, and we saw his house, and we heard all these old stories about how my great-grandmother, my great-grandfather's wife, whenever he was gone, she would put a white sheet in front of the house that signified if the Germans were at the home or not.
Mm.
And so just hearing all these stories were really cool. And as well, that day I got to go to see a resistance memorial.
Oh.
And that one was, that was very moving because you had these plaques on the wall of hundreds of people who passed away during the resistance. And there is even some places where they showed where they were shot, and they have the post still there. But
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was, I don't even know how to tell you how that feels.
Yeah.
They literally have the post. They're still there, shot up with bullets. This is where they assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
The Nazis assassinated these freedom fighters, these resistance fighters. They have the exact place where it all happened, just as it appeared back then.
Yeah, I've been to some battlefields. Some of the more well-preserved ones will have markers where people fell in battle, and you can really see where things got pretty hairy. Gettysburg is pretty well preserved, but I think one that jumps to mind is Little Bighorn. That one has a lot of markers.
You've been there?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there a couple summers ago. But that one is, you know, I think they marked it pretty quick after it happened. But yeah, it's interesting when you, because you really. We talked about this on the last podcast, but you can feel the history in a place where something significant has happened, and especially a place where there was a lot of death, unfortunately. But it sounds like you had a very interesting trip. So, what did your teachers make you do to since you missed some school?
Nothing quite yet, honestly.
I'll have to talk to them.
You know, they just said, hey, you can, or they just told me to get up at the end of class and talk a little bit about it. And, just a little bit, not the whole extent of what I did, but yeah.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there, you have a lot to share, so, you know. Yeah.
It'll make a good essay pretty soon.
Good. Yeah. Well, you know, you can always develop that because stories like this, you know, they pass down through generations, and it's good that you're keeping that alive. So, you know, who knows? Maybe it's the subject of a book you could write later or something, because you definitely have the sources at your fingertips. So, as I'm sure you'll go on to study history, you know, you'll, I think that's, you know, I think preserving this is something y'all have definitely endeavored to do and may do so more in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. Well, anything to add, Don?
I do not.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me, y'all.
No problem.
And this follow-up has been a great pleasure for me. So,
all right. Thank you, Hunter.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shelton, for letting them do this.
Of course. Take care.